These are the rules of the game. If you incarnate in human form, then you're stuck in a body that grows old, gets sick, and eventually dies. Whatever you find dear and delightful, you can't count on it always being there. It's subject to changing and vanishing. And as you sow, so shall you reap. If you are playing a game and you ignore the rules, generally the game doesn't go very well. For example, let's say you learn to play chess. And it's a complicated game. I mean, these pieces can move like this and this one like that. And you decide you'll simplify things. You'll just move your pieces one square at a time, right? Much simpler. Of course, you start playing a game and pretty soon your opponent comes swooping across the board and takes your queen. And you get all upset. And your opponent says, "But the rules say I can do this." Oh yeah, right. So you go back to moving your pieces one square at a time and pretty soon you lose the game. It's very helpful to keep the rules in mind. We live in bodies that are aging. This is just the way it is. And no matter what they might tell you on television, you can't stop that from happening. Now, it's true you can slow it down. You can eat healthy food. You can get good exercise. You can avoid living in places where there are toxic chemicals and things like that. But inevitably, your body is going to age. Unfortunately, Western culture is incredibly stupid about that. Western culture says that you should never get older than 25. And if somehow you do get older than 25, you should never look older than 25. This is incredibly stupid. Most cultures honored the people that had managed to survive to old age, looked to them for wisdom. Our culture is just really, really weird about this. You probably have noticed signs of aging. Maybe it's not so serious these days. But as time goes on, you'll notice more signs. And yeah, some things you used to could do, you just can't do anymore. Actually, when you think about it, if you look in the mirror this afternoon, that's probably the best you're going to look for the rest of your life. It just goes downhill from here, right? So what are you going to do about it? You can pretend it's not happening, but pretending that reality isn't reality doesn't go very well. Or you can come to terms with the fact that you live in a body that's aging. This seems to me to be a much more healthy alternative than ignoring the fact that, yeah, your body's going to grow older. It's not going to work as well. Our bodies are subject to becoming ill. When you're ill, how do you react? Oh, this shouldn't be happening to me. This is terrible. Well, yeah, maybe it is terrible. But it's part of having a human body. It just sometimes doesn't work very well. So if you're sick and you have to stay home from work or school, what do you do? I don't know, maybe you have really good daytime television in Finland. In America we have absolutely terrible daytime television. But when you're sick, that's what you do. You watch absolutely terrible television. You can't meditate, of course, because you're sick. I hear people saying that when they die, they want to be able to meditate. But you can't meditate because you've got a cold. I got news, people. Dying's going to be a lot worse than having a cold. if you want to meditate when you die, you ought to think, if you're sick, oh wow, I get a chance to practice meditating under adverse circumstances. But no, yeah, you just watch TV or something. And when you're healthy, do you appreciate it? Do you wake up in the morning going, hey, I'm not sick? No, you just wake up and sort of roll out of bed, get your coffee, go on with your day. I mean, good health is a wonderful thing. If it's happening to you so often that that's the norm, oh, you should appreciate this. But yeah, we ignore the fact that we're healthy when we're healthy, and then get all upset when we get sick. Getting sick is just what happens to human bodies. Some people get sick much more often than others, but most people get sick to one degree or another from time to time. It's important to recognize this is part of life and appreciate it when you're not sick. And then death. It's quite interesting. The only thing we know for sure about the future is I'm going to die. All right? I mean, we might think, you know, in an hour we're going to be eating lunch. But, you know, there could be some asteroid headed this way and squish us all before we get to lunch. We'll be dead. That's the only thing we know for certain about the future, that we're going to die. And what do we do with this one certain piece of information? Ignore it to the best of our ability. Western culture is as stupid about death as it is about aging. If you go to Asia, death is much more a part of life. If you ever get a chance to go to Varanasi and go to the burning ghats on the river Ganges, it's an unforgettable sight. It's really very striking. Death is just part of life to a much larger extent. Yeah, the relatives get upset when somebody dies, but it's not hidden away. In the West, we ignore death as much as we can, except, of course, in the Hollywood movies and so forth, where it's like, it's not the good guys that are dying, it's just the bad guys. But it turns out everybody is going to die. So, do you ever think about your death? Death can actually be a very helpful thing. Well, maybe not dying itself, but the fact that you're going to die someday. Or do you think you want to be laying on your deathbed thinking, I never watched enough cat videos on YouTube? How are you going to use the time between now and when you die? I mean, yeah, you could try and watch all the cat videos. I mean, cat videos are great, but is there some better way of using your time? If you keep death over your shoulder, as Don Juan told Carlos Castaneda, then it may help you make wiser choices with the limited amount of time that you have. And it is limited, and furthermore, you don't know how much time there is. Could be that asteroid headed this way. Or maybe you have 100 years. You don't know. But you do know that you're alive now, and you have opportunities and choices as to how you spend the time before you die. Can you make wise choices? Remembering that you're going to die can be very helpful for doing that. All that is mine, dear and delightful, will change and vanish. On that first meditation retreat with Ayakema back in 1985, when she did this guided contemplation and she got to that, my reaction was, no! You know, I didn't want that. But I had to admit, it was true. I had a number of things in my life, people, relationships, that changed and vanished. And sitting there on my little cushion in those few minutes thinking about it, I had lots of dear and delightful things in my life at that time, and there was no way I could prevent them from changing and vanishing. I could do my best to prevent it from happening, but there were no guarantees. When you realize that things change and vanish, then maybe you appreciate them more while they're here. I mean, suppose you have your grandmother's Ming vase that came all the way from China, and it falls off the mantle and breaks into pieces. Is getting upset going to be helpful? Is it going to make the pieces go back together? Probably not. But if the Ming vase hasn't fallen off the mantle yet, maybe you can appreciate that it's there, at least temporarily. Maybe it'll outlive you. Maybe it won't. You don't know. And then the last of these on karma. In the West, the word karma has come to mean more the results of action. Oh, he's got a good life. He's got good karma, meaning he did a bunch of good stuff earlier, either previous life or this life, and that's why he's got a good life now. But at the time of the Buddha, karma meant action. Vipaka is the result of action. At the time of the Buddha, karma, more than anything else, meant ritual action. If you were a farmer and you wanted a good crop, then it was very important that you make the gods happy. And in order to make the gods happy, you needed to do a sacrifice. But you didn't know how to do a sacrifice correctly. But lucky for you, there were Brahmins who knew how to do the sacrifice correctly. They knew the real karma, the real action. So you would pay the Brahmins to do the sacrifice for you so that your crops would grow. Sounds like a scam to me. But that was the basis of the culture at the time of the Buddha. The dominant cultural paradigm. The Brahmins who would do the actions for you, and you would pay them to do it correctly. And the Buddha came along and he said, no, action is all about intention. He said, karma, I declare, O monks, is intention. We make that distinction in our laws today. If you kill someone and it's intentional and plotted, then the justice system is much more difficult, is much more harsh on you than if you kill someone by accident or through carelessness. It's the intention that counts. So if you're walking around here and you step on a bug and kill it, the karmic consequences are not such the same as if you intentionally kill a bug. The Buddha was probably the first to recognize that the actions that you do change your mind. If you make a habit of going around and killing bugs that annoy you, it just becomes easier for you to kill bugs. You don't recognize the interconnectedness. Maybe it makes it easier for you to act in other selfish ways. In the United States, where they have urban gangs, if someone joins the gang, the first thing they have to do is go out and commit a crime. By committing one crime, it makes it easier for them to commit more crimes, and then the gang can go rip people off and do things that gangs do. Now, whether every action you do has a consequence that comes back to you, I don't know. But certainly every action that you do does color your mind. and makes it easier for you to do that type of action in the future. Certainly, every action that you do does have consequences. Some things, the consequences come back right away. If you're standing in the hallway and someone walks by and you stick out your foot and trip them, they're liable to turn around and hit you. You know, it's the consequence of you being nasty. Sometimes the consequences don't show up right away. They can take quite some time. But every action that you do changes the universe. Not a lot. We don't get to change the universe a lot. But it's certainly much better if you act in ways that make the universe slightly better than if you act in ways that make the universe slightly worse. I think about some of the politicians that were in charge in the United States before the current administration. They did a number of actions that were, shall we say, extremely unskillful. They don't seem to have suffered personally for those actions, but certainly the universe suffered. There were 100,000 people killed in Iraq. Who knows how many people killed in Afghanistan? There were all the soldiers who were killed or maimed or came down with post-traumatic stress disorder. Their unskillful actions led to a lot of very negative consequences. I think probably most of you are familiar with the Buddha's teaching on not self. We are not separate individuals. We are all tightly woven into the web of life. An action done by any individual affects the web of life. Whether that action comes back directly proportional to that individual that did the action, well, sometimes it seems it doesn't, at least in this life. But the results of that action definitely impact the web of life. Now, whether you believe in multiple lifetimes and think that somebody doing an evil action will get punished in the future, maybe, I don't know. To tell you the truth, I don't know what happens when we die. But the Buddha's teaching on karma is all about paying attention to the actions you're thinking of doing now, because there will be consequences in the future. The teachings on karma are not about trying to figure out why bad things happen to good people or good things happen to bad people. It's true, you can find things like this in the suttas. But remember, the Buddha wasn't doing metaphysics. He was trying to get people to practice. And so sometimes he talked in terms of what people understood in their culture, as opposed to trying to go to the deepest teachings right away. I think that's what we're finding when we find the Buddha saying that someone had misfortune because in a previous life such and such happened. But definitely the teachings on karma are to pay attention to what you're thinking about doing. What are your intentions? Are they going to make the world a better place or a worse place? So these are the five daily recollections. The Buddha says that every monk, every nun, every lay woman, every lay man should remember these five every day. He also says that everyone should recognize that everyone is subject to aging, to sickness, and death. Whatever anyone finds as dear and delightful, that can change and vanish. And everyone is the owner of their actions. Whatever they do, whether good or evil, that they will inherit. So, since the Buddha says that you should reflect on these five every day, I'm going to say, certainly for the rest of this retreat, you should reflect on these every day. This is an insight practice. This is an insight contemplation. The best way to work with these contemplations is to get yourself as concentrated as you can. If you know the jhanas, of course, you would step through the jhanas and then begin your contemplation. But all of you have the capacity to generate some degree of concentration. And then simply say to yourself these five reflections. And then pick one of them and think about it in some detail. Spend several minutes thinking about it. Spend a half an hour thinking about it. I'd say several minutes is a minimum, but I know it's possible to work with one of these all day long. There was a time when I was on retreat at the Forest Refuge in Massachusetts, and first sitting of the day, I'd get myself concentrated, and then I would say the five daily reflections, and whichever one had the most charge, I'd work with that for the rest of the day. Yeah, sometimes I'd work with getting concentrated and then going back to working with it. But it's possible to work with this stuff quite deeply.